The Virginia Voice presents What's Your Story? Our program is based on the idea that everybody has a story to tell. All you have to do is ask. Now, here's the host of What's Your Story, Don Dale.
Hello, and welcome to What's Your Story? My guest this time is Estelle Blostein, and this is an unusual story. Today, it's going to be a love story. And Estelle, we start our program with a question that almost always prompts a conversation. What is your earliest childhood memory?
Kindergarten.
Really?
I remember being at the door and being handed two wooden blocks with sandpaper wrapped around it, and I was going to be part of the orchestra where I would rub the two blocks together to make sounds. I remember being delighted with the noises that were coming from the sandpaper.
Do you remember how old you were when this happened?
Kindergarten would be five.
5 years old.
Yeah.
Now, this happened where? You're from originally Manhattan.
Yeah, but we moved to Brooklyn when I was 18 months old, and it would have been in Brooklyn where we resided at the time.
And you went to school in Brooklyn?
Yep. Elementary, junior high, high school, and college.
And in those days, your maiden name was Estelle...
Gottlieb.
Gottlieb.
In German.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there was a boy named Ted...
Blostein.
And you two knew each other, but that was about it.
When we lived in Manhattan... Our mothers used to wheel us in the prams in the same park, and they became friendly. Mm-hmm. And over the years, they visited with one another. And from time to time, we would go there. I would see him. He would come with his mother to our house until such time as he got older and decided he'd stay behind. But I really didn't see him seriously until... We both had graduated college prior to his entry into the service. He had called and asked for a date, which was our first date.
Well, before we get that far, let me follow up on college. What did you study in college?
There was, I guess you'd call it a general science. There was no guidance for the students at that time, and I enjoyed science courses, so I took as many as I possibly could. And I minored in home economics, primarily on the scientific aspect.
And which college was this?
Brooklyn College. It was probably a year after it was established.
Really?
It'd be 1939.
So the Depression was still going on when you were very young.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember much about it, what it was like?
Well, I remember we didn't realize that we were poor. Because everybody else around us was in this, they were all in the same boat. I recall seeing men on street corners selling apples and pencils. Mm-hmm. I recall someone in the courtyard with a violin playing and hoping for the tenants to throw pennies, if they could, out the window for him to collect and probably take home. Buy whatever he could with the small amount he could garner.
And pennies were worth a lot more then.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. 5 pennies and you could buy a loaf of bread.
Oh, 5 pennies, you were in heaven.
What else do you remember about those days?
Later on, I recall, it would be when Roosevelt was elected, I remember he had established the WPA. Mm-hmm. And they built a swimming pool in the local park about a block or so away from where we lived. And we would go there to keep cool in the summer, use the park for recreation in the winter, sleigh riding in the streets when it snowed. It was a good life, even though we had very little. We appreciated the little that we had. And most parents were very, very attentive to their children. They made sure that they behaved, and both in the house and in school. School was, there were no behavioral problems that I can recall. And we had large classes. We'd have 45 in one class. There were two seats that were together, and then a single seat and another double. And frequently there were three students sitting on the two seats because they ran out of places to put them. But we learned.
And you remembered the Roosevelt election.
Oh, yeah.
Were your parents Democrats or Republicans?
They were Democrats.
So it was none of that man in the White House. That wasn't the way they saw him.
No. They never spoke about politics in the House, at least not in front of me. But I think they felt that they needed something to try to get us out of the doldrums that we were in.
Yeah.
And Dad, of course, being a working man, he worked for the government at the time. He was fortunate not being laid off, but the salaries were cut back to next to nothing. However, it was a bit of money coming in. So to that degree, I guess we were very fortunate.
And your mom was a stay-at-home mom?
Oh, yeah.
How many children altogether?
Just another. My younger brother was 6.5, 7 years younger. That's all.
Do you remember the attack on Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
You were in college at the time.
Right. It was a Sunday, and I recall one of my male friends from the street we lived on came to the door. And when he came in, first question was, do you know where Pearl Harbor was? And I had absolutely no idea where Pearl Harbor was. Ironically, of all the young men that I knew that went into the service, he was the only one that never came back.
How did you find out where Pearl Harbor was?
I don't recall. All I remember is I had received a letter from him a day or so before the news broke, and I remember sitting on the bed crying because it was a loss to all of us. He was a really nice young man.
Where was he killed? Do you remember?
He was a tail gunner in a B-29 bomber, so it must have been in the air somewhere. I never learned where. I do remember the parts of the letter where he said the plane taking him overseas had flown over our area, and he asked me if I could see him waving from the plane.
Ted, to connect the story back up, your acquaintance when you were young, what did he do?
He was in the 12th Armored Division, 23rd Tank.
In Europe?
He was in Europe, yeah. He enlisted as right after he graduated from college. Guess he went in late summer, 1942. After he was there a while, I began receiving mail from him, which I, of course, answered. And that was the only connection we had during that time. And they were rather innocuous type letters telling me what he could of what he did and so forth. He was not able to say very much about what was going on, so he circumvented a lot of it. Generally, it was just a bit of nonsense. And I was working at the Department of Agriculture at the time, sending the food shipments overseas, and I was being berated for all the powdered eggs that I was sending to him. He was longing for one fresh egg. When he came home the end of January, beginning of February, and called, we started to date.
This was after the war?
Yeah. Soon after he came home, and something clicked.
He looked very different when he came home.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about him before the war, what he looked like.
He was rather on the chubby side before the war, although he was quite tall and not particularly athletic. When he came home, he was tall, slender. I thought handsome. Of course, I was prejudiced at the time. And even his personality seemed to have changed. It matured quite a bit and obviously had seen quite a lot, right, but never spoke about it except to make a jest now and again. But the serious stuff he kept pretty much close to his hip.
Mm-hmm. So when he came back, did he move back in with his parents? Were you still living with your parents?
I was with my parents. In those days, girls listened to what their parents advised them. And he came home. He was with his parents. Started to look for work. But there was very little available with all the million of these young men coming home. Jobs were scarce. He had had a year of law school in his last year of college, but he attempted to go back to, I believe it was NYU, New York University, to study, but the war had taken its toll, and he just could not concentrate. He tried for about 4 months and then said it was useless because he wasn't really doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was much too distracted. And went back into the employment field looking for work. We were engaged in March and married in May.
Of 1946?
1946, right. Yeah.
But did his parents and your parents play any role in your starting to date?
Not really, no.
But they no doubt approved because they had known him all his life.
Well, my mother was delighted because she wouldn't have me on her hands for much longer. In fact, I had gone to an all-girls high school, and when I attempted to go to an all-girls college because I had been accepted into two of the city universities, Hunter and Brooklyn, and she forbid me to go to Hunter, which was another all-girls school, because obviously she was afraid that I might remain an old maid and be at home forever.
You'd never meet a boy.
That's right.
But you met and married a boy you had known almost all my life,
yeah.
So what was it about Ted that made things click when you saw each other after the war?
Seemed so knowledgeable and worldly. He was charming. He showered me with gifts, which I knew was just to make his place where he wanted to be. But
so he was really pushing.
Yes.
He wanted very much to get married. And you?
At the beginning, I was a little shy about it. He was an extrovert. I was not. I was an introvert. Mm-hmm. We were two completely different personalities. The things he enjoyed, food-wise, I didn't like. The things I enjoyed, artistic things, music, reading, poetry, he was not exactly into it. Mm-hmm. But somehow or other, it wasn't a barrier.
Do you remember your first date?
The first date was the date that before he went into the service.
Before he went into the service.
That was the first and last date till he returned.
And what did you do on that first date?
We went into the city to see a show or a movie. And I'm laughing because he would approach the box office and look at the price, and if it didn't suit him, he'd say it was too expensive, and I was horrified. I had never been treated like that. Even if the young man whom I was dating thought it might be, he never said so. Ted was very outspoken. Whatever he felt, he let you know. Mm-hmm. There was nothing hidden about him.
Do you remember the movie?
No.
Going back too far.
No, I have no idea. The only movie I remember was a movie we saw on our honeymoon.
Which was?
How Green Was My Valley in Radio City Music Hall.
Ooh. Interesting movie. Stood the test of time.
It was a great movie. We had dinner at one of, I don't even remember the name of the restaurant we had dinner at. And then we went to the movie and came back because we were leaving early in the morning by train to Niagara Falls.
Well, tell me about, how did Ted propose?
I honestly don't remember if he ever proposed.
You mean he just assumed you were going to marry him?
Yeah, okay. Let's get married.
So he didn't get on one knee.
I don't remember being asked. It was just a given.
But you knew you wanted to get married.
Yes.
And so
I knew on one of our dates when he had taken me home, and being shy, I was never one who was aggressive. And before he took me to the door, I bent over and kissed his cheek, which surprised me no end. I had never done anything like that before. And I knew if that must be a sign.
Mm-hmm. What's your anniversary? What date were you married?
May 19th.
Of 1946.
Mm-hmm.
And you went on your honeymoon to Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls and into Canada. We went to Thousand Islands, Ottawa, Toronto, Montreal. And I had my first plane ride back.
Mm. And Ted now had been flying in a plane all
day. He kept telling me what a beautiful sight coming into the airport in New York.
Yeah.
What is now Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was raining terribly. So they had detoured us from the original place where we were supposed to go through customs to Burlington, Vermont, if I remember. The plane coming back was full of French-Canadian newly married couples going through customs. Every time the customs officer picked up some piece of lingerie, there was a whole discussion about it. I don't think we left that airport for hours. And then finally from there we went into New York. Coming in, it was raining and cloudy and couldn't see a thing.
So there
after
was
all that
view.
Big buildup of what mm-hmm. I was going to see.
You're listening to What's Your Story on the Virginia Voice, and my guest is Estelle Blostein, and it's a love story that we're talking about this time. Estelle, you're back from your honeymoon. Where do you remember the first place you lived?
We could not get an apartment we could afford. We stayed with my parents.
How long?
Till after my first child was born. And then we finally got a two-room apartment in the borough of Queens, which okay. was something that was just heaven, as I mentioned, because it was something of our own.
Yeah.
It was our duplex. Yeah. Two rooms, a living room with a kitchen unit against one wall and a good-sized bedroom. At the time we moved in, it was just one child. And not too long after, there was a second, so that the duplex was expanded to two cribs instead of one. And our furniture on one side, the two cribs on the other side. But it worked out very well.
And the children are a boy and a girl?
The first was a boy, the second was a girl.
Did you know how to take care of a baby, or was this something you learned on the job?
Well, we had a little problem at the beginning when we were still with my parents because the older one had developed a staph infection in his head.
Hmm.
And by the time they diagnosed it, he was rushed to the hospital, and for about 3 weeks it was touch and go.
Ooh.
So
scary business.
Yeah. It was scary. He was a very strong child, and fortunately the pediatrician I had was head of pediatrics at the hospital, so when he'd have a bad spell, no matter what time, 10, 11 o'clock at night, the doctor would be there. And I was told later if it weren't for the use of penicillin,
mm-hmm.
he might not have survived.
Penicillin was a brand new drug.
Yeah.
Did your mom, when you lived at home with a little baby, did your mom help, or was she telling you what to do all the time?
Well, she was a bit telling me what to do until I told her that that was my child, my responsibility, and that she had already raised her two, and that please allow me to raise my own.
Mm-hmm.
She backed down.
Now, Ted and you were living in Queens in a two-room apartment. How long did you stay there?
Couldn't have been too long, because we married in 46. I would say we left there for maybe 2 years, if that long. And we had applied to middle-income housing in New York, mm-hmm. and were accepted, so we moved from the two rooms to a two-bedroom apartment in Jackson Heights, Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the third one came along.
A third?
Third was a boy.
So you had another child?
Yeah, there were the two older, mm-hmm. and then a five-year span, and the youngest was born.
And Ted was working, what kind of job did Ted wind up
having? He started out, in, if I recall, doing some sort of clerical type work, mm-hmm. with a very small company. And each time, he changed jobs rather frequently, but each time moving up. So by the time we got to Jackson Heights, he was doing fairly well. Not as much as he expected. In fact, there were times when he would work two jobs just to make sure that we would be able to cover expenses, work during the day at his regular job, and sold shoes at Macy's.
Really?
For his second job at night.
Mm-hmm.
And
the one in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would pitch in a bit because he'd bring home some homework for me at my request, not his. And I'd type labels at night, mm-hmm. do piecework. Mm-hmm. So that we could get a little bit more, mm-hmm. and have some so-called luxuries to be able to give the children.
And eventually you wound up living in, did you say, Southern Jersey?
Central.
Central New Jersey.
Yeah, it was a small town near New Brunswick, between Perth Amboy and New Brunswick in Middlesex, mm-hmm. County.
A suburb.
We purchased our first home there. Mm-hmm. And we were there for 30 years.
And you must have been just in heaven.
Oh, I had a garden. I had my own place. I ruled the roost.
Mm-hmm.
He commuted to New York. We looked around for a long time to make sure it met two necessary qualifications. Firstly, that he would be able to commute, right. to the city. And secondly, that it would have a good school system for the children. And we would sacrifice the house part to make sure we got the first two. So we didn't get the big house that we would have liked, but it was more than adequate. It was a three-bedroom home, the old-fashioned two levels. Only we had three.
Mm-hmm.
Top one was for boys. We had our bedroom, my daughter's, on the second, and then downstairs was living room, kitchen, dining room, and below that was the den and the garage.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of space, but it was built up in many levels, a lot of staircases.
And a nice place to raise kids.
Oh, yeah. It was a wonderful town. In fact, I still keep in touch with friends and neighbors that still live there, and that's over 50 years.
Were you a good cook?
Yes. I couldn't bake, but I was a good cook.
Yeah? What sort of things did your kids ask you to make? What did they really like? Were their favorites?
They liked things with chocolate.
Well, what kid doesn't?
And since I didn't bake too well, I would make a chocolate pudding pie. Actually, the kind that you put in the refrigerator after you put it all together. So it was very easy. Chocolate snap cake with chocolate snaps, whipped cream, uh-huh. that they enjoyed as well.
And Ted, was he a fussy eater or?
No. No. The only thing I do remember is when he came home from the service, he didn't want his food touching whatever was on the plate couldn't touch the next item because he was so tired of everything being slopped on the mess kit. Mm-hmm. He got over that, but yeah. It took a little while. But he never complained about anything that, other than asparagus. He didn't like the odor of asparagus, and that he would complain about, and cooked carrots. Those two items were on his no-no list. But other than that, he ate most everything that was served and enjoyed.
What was your marriage like?
Wonderful. We had our ups and downs. Neither of us were without our own warts. But you learn to accommodate to one another what made him happy. I was willing to give in the same in regard to him. He was extremely generous. He'd bring home flowers for no occasion. If I happened to mention while walking through a department store that something was nice, when I turned around, I had it, even though I only mentioned it because it happened to be nice, not that I wanted it. But if I learned to keep quiet, I didn't make any comment because I was being loaded down with stuff I really didn't need.
But you were telling me earlier that he would bring home flowers on the train, and his fellow passengers would ask him what?
Oh, they wanted to know if he was in the doghouse, because most men don't bring home flowers to their wives unless there's a reason. And he was in his
Ted
reply.
Didn't need a reason other than
says,
that he loved
what,
you.
Why do I need a reason to bring flowers home to my wife? If he happened to see a vendor outside the station before he boarded the train, he would pick something up. He knew I loved flowers. So.
And you all were married for?
62 years. He was looking forward to 65, but unfortunately wasn't able to make it.
You must have provided a remarkable example to your children, because your children are grown now and in their 40s.
One is 64, one is 62, and she's 57. We'll be 57 in February, the youngest.
How many of them are married?
They're all married. They all have good marriages. The oldest one is married 41 years. Mm. Daughter's married 33. And I think my son would be about 29, the young one.
And you're a grandmother?
We have five.
Five grandchildren?
Mm-hmm. We lost one.
Oh.
Would have been the sixth at 8 months.
So you're
it was
five.
My daughter's little boy.
But you have five living grandchildren.
Yeah.
And how old is the oldest?
36, I believe. And he would have been older, but except they waited 5 years before they had him.
Great-grandchildren?
No.
Oh.
Two married, but no great-grandchildren.
Okay. Now, there's another flower story that I want you to tell me. And that is when Ted was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Not long before he died. And you came into the hospital room, and there were flowers sitting on his bedside
there,
stand.
Right on the other side. He was all hooked up. He was in ICU. And there were flowers and a box of chocolates. I thought someone had brought them for him. And he kept pointing to me and pointing to flowers. He had a mask over his mouth, so he couldn't talk.
Oxygen.
An oxygen mask, yeah. Ultimately, I realized he was telling me that was for me. And I turned to the nurse and asked her. She said he had pleaded with her to get something for me, to go down to the gift shop and bring something up so that when I came, there would be something there and for our anniversary, because he went in on May 17th. And our anniversary was the 19th. He didn't want to miss it. He never missed an anniversary.
Never forgot.
Never forgot. Never forgot a birthday. Never forgot an anniversary.
Everybody wants to know, I'm sure, what is the secret to such a long and successful marriage? And I think you may have touched on it already.
I think compromise. You have to be willing to make the other person happy. And if it made him happy, I was happy to go along with it. There were times when I drew the line. I wouldn't always say okay, but by the same token, he did the same.
And it doesn't hurt to be in love.
Oh, no. There was one special occasion when he had done something that irritated me no end, and I just wouldn't talk till he apologized. He wasn't even aware what it was. And after a day and a half, he walked into the spare bedroom where I had my desk, came over to me and took my hand, and he's, I don't know what I did, but please, please talk to me. I'll apologize, I'll do anything, but talk to me.
Mm. What year did he die, Estelle?
August 2, 2008. We were having such a good time. After we retired, we had a ball. Even though I was concerned about spending time day and night together, we had about 20 years together, and it was great.
After retirement.
Yeah.
Estelle, thank you so much for sharing a really important part of your life with us. It's a beautiful story. It's a love story.
I guess so. I'd never thought of it that way.
It is. My guest today has been Estelle Blostein, and she's been telling us about her love story. I'm Don Dale, and I hope you'll join us next time on the Virginia Voice for What's Your Story?
You've been listening to What's Your Story with Don Dale. If you know somebody with a story to tell, or if you'd like to tell your own story, telephone the Virginia Voice, 804-266-2477, and be sure to join us next time for What's Your Story? This is Charles Mink speaking, and this is the Virginia Voice.